Well, friends, isn't worship a wonderful thing? This is a day that I've looked forward to for some time. Back in January, we announced that one of our initiatives for this year would be to do a series on worship and music. It's our plan, Lord willing, all summer to talk about the matter of passionately pursuing our God in worship and music. I'd like to begin this morning by offering five reasons why I and the other members of our pastoral staff thought a series like this was necessary. But let's talk about just why is this necessary? What are we trying to accomplish here? I want to suggest five reasons right off the bat. One of them is this. Just to help those of us who have been believers for a long time. Please concentrate on that. To help those of us who have been believers for a long time continue to grow in our pursuit of God. I think that's been one of the unfortunate misconceptions about my interest in this particular topic, and that is that I wanted to see us make some adjustments in our music and worship so that we could attract newer persons or younger persons to our church. Friends, I want to say right out of the blocks here this morning, that has never been the primary motivation of all of this. Our pastor's first ministry is to the people who are here, but for years now, we have been concerned about whether or not we as a congregation are worshiping well. And that comment is not made to be offensive, but that is our job, to point out ways that we believe we need to grow. And we're speaking as your friends. We're speaking as members of this congregation as well, but we've been concerned about it. We've not seen the doctrine of progressive sanctification being applied to this area of our church life as aggressively as it's been rightly applied to everything else we're trying to do in our ministries here. We need to be growing on all fronts, is what I'm saying. And friends, it's possible for our worship habits to become predictable and stale and lifeless and bland and routine. And if you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for any period of time, you know that those kind of words can apply not just to worship habits. Those words can apply to one's relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm just asking you hypothetically, is that possible? That one's relationship with Christ can become bland and stale and lifeless and predictable? And am I telling the truth when I say hypothetically that can be true not just of worship habits corporately, that can be true of one's own personal relationship with Christ? True? And friends, listen, it doesn't get much more serious than that. Now, on the other hand, here's the good news. It's possible for a person to be a believer in Christ for a long, long period of time and to still have a relationship with Him that is fresh, that is real, that is genuine, that is alive, that is developing, that is deepening, and that's what we want. And our church leadership has a responsibility of cultivating and motivating that through the planning and execution of worship services that are fresh, that are creative, that are diverse, that are passionate, that are varied, and that are alive. So this is not primarily about people who are not yet attending our church. This is not about the young. This is not about new believers. Friends, this is about you, and this is about me, and whether or not we're growing in this particular area of our lives. It's our job, first and foremost, to pastor the persons who are here. Now, a second answer to the question, why is this series necessary? It's to counter some of the excesses in what is commonly referred to as the contemporary Christian music movement, or CCM. In the last 30 years, there's been an explosion of new music that is done in the name of Jesus Christ. And please hear me, because I'm choosing these words very carefully. Much of what has been done under that heading, contemporary Christian music, is very good and very helpful, and very right. It's provided some balance that was needed. However, a fair amount of what has been done under the heading of CCM, or contemporary Christian music, has been outside the buoys of biblical orthodoxy. And the reason for that is a number of people are saying music is amoral. In other words, the lyrics are important, the words, but the notes don't matter. In fact, one well-known pastor in a best-selling book recently said this: "Worship has nothing to do with the style or volume or speed of a song. God loves all kind of music because he invented it all, fast and slow, loud and soft, old and new. You probably don't like it all, but God does." Friends, that is an outrageous statement. And it shows how low the evangelical church has fallen from its historic biblical and theological roots. And if that quote is true, then the evangelical church has entered musically the era known as "every man does that which is right in his own eyes." And that is a scary thought indeed. And I want to say strongly this morning, I do not believe that the anything goes approach to music or to lyrics is a view that pleases God. So that particular emphasis in our culture and in the Christian church in America needs to be addressed. Now, the third reason we're doing this series is to challenge some of the conservative responses to the contemporary Christian music movement. The fundamental church oftentimes has been reactionary in its approach to contemporary issues. And that's not always bad. Sometimes you do have to react. But the fundamental church, regrettably, oftentimes is reactionary in its approach, and sometimes that leads to swinging the pendulum to the other extreme, to making the Bible say more than it says, or to pressing points in ways that are illogical. And I mentioned to you a lot of reading and a lot of studying the last couple of years on this topic of music and worship. And I just have to be honest with you this morning and say this: some of the worst books that I have read in the last 20 years have been written by people in the conservative movement trying to squelch any music that is new or that is fresh or that is different than what they grew up with. Now, oftentimes the logic is convoluted, passages of Scripture are taken out of context, and even if the position is correct, the method of articulating that position discredits whatever the person is trying to prove. So one of the words that you're going to hear me say over and over and over this summer is the word balance. Because I honestly believe that there are excesses on both sides of this particular issue, and that a church like ours would do well to avoid both sides, both excesses, and instead seek to achieve a biblical balance on this matter. The fourth answer to our question, why are we doing this? Please hear this, because this is very, very important. It's to use this topic as an occasion to practice the art of developing a biblical theology on specific issues of concern and interest. And my thesis this summer for you is this: often what is lacking in discussions of worship and music is a carefully crafted biblical theology. Now, there's no lack of opinions or preferences, and there's plenty of ideas coming from supposed experts from all corners of this debate. And there are people out there who want to draw no lines anywhere. There are also others who want to draw all lines everywhere. And generally speaking, when persons are talking from those extremes, they do not have biblical truth on their side. Or if they're using the Bible, they're using it completely out of its context and forcing things on the Word of God that simply are not there. I want to read a quote to you from a gentleman named Milo Thompson. Milo Thompson, for many years, was the president of Baptist Bible College and Baptist Bible Seminary. He's written a book entitled "The Ministry of Music." If I were king, every person who attends this church this summer would read this book. And what I like about this book is it's based on the Bible. There's an unusual approach to talking about music, huh? And I'm trying to be sweet about this, folks, but that is the problem. And what I like about this book is it goes passage by passage by passage, highlighting the many. And there are over 600 of them in the Bible on music. And you can get this, by the way. They say, "Are you about to sell me something?" Why, sure. Along with your Vegematic, you can also get... I appreciate the folks in the Ministry Resource Center who put some of these together for us. There's 50 of them in the Ministry Resource together right now. They're $5. You say, "Well, I ain't got $5. Well, Pastor Dutton will buy one for anyone who needs one who does not have the money. But the bottom line is I strongly want to encourage you to get this book and to read it.